time for Standing in the Gap. We're going to continue to listen to this song. Don't want to interrupt it. Just wanted you to know we are here for you on Praise 107.9. Listen to Anita Wilson, I Love You, Jesus, for like another 30 minutes at least. Thank you so much for listening tonight. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. I am Monica R. Hooks of Worship Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, here just for you to stand in the gap between the things that you are going to and through so we can get to the other side together. Amen. Pray with us right now. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. Truly, God, just as we heard in the song, we do love you. And we thank you that you loved us first and that you continue to love us even when we are so unlovable, even unlikable at times. We ask God that you continue to show us your word tonight through song, through music, and especially through your message. Help us, dear God, not to be ashamed to share our prayer requests, not to be even too shy to share our praise reports, to share the beautiful, wonderful things you are doing in our lives so that we can encourage one another to stay on this journey that gets so tough at times. In Jesus' name, God, we just want you to save tonight, even through this radio broadcast, and that you continue to bless us in ways that we can bless you and one another. And we all say amen. Amen, and welcome to Standing in the Gap. Again, I am your host here, your servant. I purposely don't say I'm your girl because I don't know that I am. But I am your servant, whether you like it or not, just because God says so. I'm here to take your prayer requests with the power of God that's in this studio. Yes, live here in Jacksonville, Florida. But we do reach out throughout the Southeast parts of Florida, as well as throughout the United States, through the computer, as well as to the rest of the world. You can get us by live stream if you like by going to www.praise1079.com. That's praise1079.com. And there you can catch us live stream. And if you want to know all the other ways I'm about to mention you to connect with us, you can simply go on that same website, praise1079.com. Go to the Stand in the Gap with Pastor Monica information. There you will see the email sitgpastor@gmail.com, as well as the contact number here in this live studio, 904-296-2251, 904-296-2251. You can also see there the Facebook logo. Click on that, and that'll take you to the Facebook page where you can leave a direct message or just let us know on there your comments that you like to share, any questions you may have, as well as, again, your prayer requests and praise reports. supports. So there are so many ways that you can get in contact with us. Call in, email in, you can even text messenger in. We just want you to get involved with us as we continue this weekend. As we are here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., we're talking about Bible versus Babel. And tonight's focus, extending from last night's Bible versus Babel, is Bible is not Babel. And you better know Babel is not Bible. I want to say it the other way, but I don't want to say it grammatically incorrect. But I was feeling Bible ain't Babel, and Babel surely, not surely, surely ain't Bible. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, okay? Remember, the number to call in is 904-296-2251. I am excited about this word. I am excited about hearing your voice. I am excited about the voice of God that I already constantly hear so that I can serve you better. 904-296-2251. Just want to play a little music for you to make sure we get our hearts and things right as a continuation from what we just heard, and also read this scripture for you. Psalm 143 verse 10 simply says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let's listen now to Israel and New Breed. This is from the CD Alive in South Africa, to kick us off with what God really truly is, Alpha and Omega. Stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica.
And Omega, say, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Sing it again. You are. Give you all the glory.
We give you all.
time all over this building. Declare it, declare it.
What we've come to do tonight, we've come to praise God in sanctuaries. We come to praise God in this mighty heavens and his mighty heavens. We've come to praise God for his acts of power, to praise him for his surpassing greatness, for the sounding of the trumpet, with the sounding of the harp, with the timbrel and dance, with the strings and pipes, with the clash of cymbals, with the resounding cymbals. We are here for God has given us breath, so everything that has breath should praise the Lord, honor the Lord, worship the Lord, because truly God is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Master. Jesus is Redeemer. Jesus is Forgiver. And Jesus is the lover of our souls. Jesus ultimately is Alpha and Omega. And that's why we are here tonight. Give us a call with your prayer request as well as your praise report. 904-296-2251. This is Standing in the Gap on Praise 107.9. Start this thing today. I came in here today to, well, tonight, actually tonight. Again, this is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. The number to call in is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. We are continuing talking about Bible versus Babel, and especially tonight as we are here, as we typically are, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. But this night, we are extending that lesson to Bible is not Babel, and Babel is not Bible. I know I could say things a little lighter, but I came in here ready on a mission to be a blessing to God, and because of God, to be a blessing to you. So no, I'm not going to sugarcoat things, because no sugary shellac sermon nor lesson laced with lies would give us what we need. We would all leave as spiritual diabetics, still longing for a real meal to deal and help us heal with the things that we go through, right? We are here to talk about what we need to talk about, how we have to use this weapon that God has given us through the canonized Bible, this book, this collection of writings and works that were blessed by God, inspired by God, perfect God through imperfect people. And so we know that we have to prayerfully read the Bible, but we also know we live in a world where so many people have their own interpretations. We all do, not only of the word, but just of life. We see over and over again so many people who have platforms that they can use to be a blessing to God and to be a blessing to others, and in one voice say how they appreciate God and believe in Christ, and the next voice just talk and encourage people to live however they want to be based on what sounds kind of good. But a lot of those things have nothing to do with God. You know I'm telling the truth, right? Because a lot of things that are even legal are not legal according to the word of God. A lot of things that are legal according to the earth are not moral concerning God. What do you mean? You know what I mean. Some of the things that we go through in life, some of the things that we decide it's okay for us to live how we want to live, to date and see what we want, who we want to date, what we want to see, to eat what we want to eat, to smoke what we want to smoke, to hit the pipe, hit the skins, hit the sheets. And God tells us over and over that he wants us to be sanctified, not to mess with our fun, but to help us to be safe and to have real fun that doesn't cause us any drama or any trauma. Somebody ought to say amen. So that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we are talking about tonight. Because there's always a war going on, no matter how good things are in our lives or no matter how messed up things look when we watch the news or just look down the street or just look right in our own homes. There's always some kind of war going on. And no, I'm not talking about the wars that are over in far distant lands. I'm talking about right where we are. Every day within my own temple, just trying to act right, think right, be right, trying to be righteous. I'm talking about the one that exists every day within our own territory at home, just trying to act right, think right, and be right, to live righteously. I'm talking about the one that exists even in the tabernacle of God, at churches and ministries all over the place, just trying to act right, think right, and be right, to live righteously. And yet evil, as Paul told us, is always ever present and trying to kill off the good in me. Evil's always there and trying to wound the word of God. Evil is always right there trying to get me to cancel my character, forget about my faith, and sell out my soul. We are in evil days, as we always have been since the fall, since we became imperfect. And so we are reminded over and over again that we have to always look to God. And the best way, one of the best ways to look to God outside of a direct relationship with God and praying to God, praising God and worshiping God and getting used to the presence of God within our daily lives is to go to the Word of God. Amen. So we're going to continue to talk about that. We have this word of God that was brought to us by God through people so that we know how to navigate these things that happen in our lives. The good days, the bad days, the glad days, and the sad days. But a lot of times we don't go to the word of God as we should. For ministers and preachers, when we tell you the truth, some of us don't go to the word until it's time to preach or teach. Some of us don't go to the word until we have some assignment. Some of us don't go to the word until we have to go somewhere and we want to find just the right scripture to add to something that we're saying. Some of us who are not preachers and teachers, but our mothers and fathers, feel we are so busy that with children that we don't go to the word. And then we wonder why our relationships, why our marriages, why our children are outside of what we feel is a good track. But we're not going to the word to see how to get us all back on track. Again, someone should say amen. God has given us a tool. God died for us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Jesus Christ blessed us and continue to give us even on the cross after he got off the cross. He didn't get off the cross. After he died and was taken off the cross. And after he is risen, always in present, perpetual language. He is risen. He's never has or had or was. He is risen. Lazarus was risen. Jesus is risen. Hear that, preachers. Don't forget that. Even when we sing that song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, or he is Lord. I get a little peeved when we say he has risen from the dead. It's not correct. It's biblically, theologically, it's incorrect. And because Jesus is risen, he always is risen and he always will be. And so we thank God for that. But this word of God, sometimes our lives are frayed and raggedy, but our Bibles look brand new, even if we have one. If it was the opposite, then surely it could make a difference. I would rather my Bible be frayed, or my app, with my Bible and my word be totally messed up, because I'm using it so much and swiping up and down so much and it keeps cutting off on me at times, rather than my life be that way, all frayed and raggedy and shutting down on me. So we're going to continue to talk about God's word tonight. Bible is not Babel, and Babel surely is not Bible. We're going to talk about just basic ways to learn the word. And just so you know, what we talked about last night, just an overview, is we talked about how we should learn and read and live the word of God. First of all, because it is a command from God. Simply put, because God said so. And secondly, we should learn and live and love the word of God, because it is a demand. It's a demand. Because the lives that we live is not only helpful for us getting through, but it's crucial for us having eternal life after this life on earth is done. And thirdly, we must learn the word of God, love it, and try to live it, because it is the ultimate plan for us for salvation. And because one of our greatest adversaries other than ourselves knows it, and that's Satan. Why wouldn't we know the word of God? Satan does, and you better know if Satan knows it and he knows that you don't know it, he definitely would try to play you like that. But you know what I'm going to say? He's a punk. And so we're going to make sure we punk him some more by learning this word of God. We're going to listen to just another song right here before I continue on. Just again to make sure that we break up all the fallow ground if there's any, or just to encourage us even more as to why we are here tonight. Let's listen to From the Bodyguard soundtrack. Let's listen to Our Bless Her Soul, Lord, According to Your Perfect Will, Miss Whitney Houston, as we sing our theme for, she sings our theme for tonight, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And you know one of the lines in that is, because the Bible tells me so. Stay with us right here on Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica. I would love to hear your voice and serve you. I already have some prayer requests that have come in. You can also, again, email them, sitgpastor@gmail.com. You can go to praise1079.com website to the Standing the Gap information and see other ways. And you can always call 904-296-2251.
Loves me, yes, Jesus.
One of many beautiful songs from May She Rest in Peace, our Whitney Nippy Jersey girl, Houston. Thank God for that. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica, and I am here until 1 a.m. That's right, live in the studio for you, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. This is our third year doing this way, and so we thank you for all your support as well as your prayers. We're talking about Bible is not Babel, and Babel is surely not Bible. Bible is nothing that we should just easily brush away thinking that it is like Babel. It doesn't really matter because that's not the truth. God bases God's truths in the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And Babel that we hear, as we talked about last night, certainly is not to be embraced and held on and tried to lived out as if it is Bible, such as us believing some of the things that we can do. I was watching, someone sent me an alert and said they wanted me to see a live broadcast on one of the social medias. And so I went on, and it was two people, a couple, and one was a very well-known gospel singer, definitely a PK kid, and the other one is the spouse of that person. And they continued to, I'm like, oh, okay, I know this person. And the one who was talking, the lead one, that's the gospel singer, has a background of preaching and teaching. So I was like, okay, I know this person. I'm being ambiguous about that for a reason, because I have to disclose some of what's not good, so I don't want to disclose the name. And we're all imperfect. It's dangerous, though, to do some of the things that I saw, and that is that they were using scripture completely out of context. They were using scripture to proof text, which those who study Bible at any level enough know that that's something that we don't do. We don't use scripture out of context to prove a point, because anyone can pull scripture out of context to prove any point that they want to make that has nothing to do with God. Okay. Those who are involved in anti-cultural type of organizations, those who are involved in pro type organizations that are against everyone else of different colors or persuasions or anti against God or anything, they can even try to use the word of God by pulling text out of context. They were doing that in some of the comments that I saw, or which I understood what they were saying, but some people were all caps and saying heresy, and you ought to be ashamed, and shame on you, and God, even in this, doesn't want shame on this person. God wants us to get right. But a lot of things, prayerfully, I could see that they seem to be using scriptures to support their own lifestyles and things that they had been through, and adulterous relationships, and then children out of wedlock. Remember, it's not judgment. These are just facts out of love. And then to hear the main one that was teaching this, that came across like more babble than Bible, that person was saying things such as, well, it's kind of better, you know, to, I think it's better to live with one another first, and, you know, see if you like each other and see if you're sexually compatible too, and to shack together or live together, and it's economically, you know, an advantage. I'm like, oh my gosh. Look, if you're going to do your stuff, just do it and own it. But don't try to use the word of God to co-sign your foolishness and your stuff. I'm not perfect. Far from it also. But I'm definitely not trying to use the word of God. I'm a little afraid to use the word of God to try to push some of my stupid stuff and choices that I've made in my life and some of the things that I go through in my imperfections. And so I pray for them, which is what we do here. We're going to continue to do that. And then they start presenting confusion, and then some of the other people, it just became that were commenting, it just became a situation that was no kind of way honoring God. I know Satan must have been smiling to think that not only is this babble being presented as if it is the word of God, but that also those who really care about the word of God are also not presenting the word of God in their responses. Instead of saying, you know, I'm going to pray for you, or I hear you, that's, you know, not correct, maybe you should look at this to clarify for yourself, or trying to call them personally or contact them through direct message privately to pull them aside, as the Bible says, to go to that person one-on-one, and if they don't understand, then to go and bring one other person in, and then if they don't understand, then take it to your church, meaning the body of Christ. And so we're going to pray for them and all who are like that as well, because the comments were very mean-spirited. I understand that even the passion that we have for Christ wants us to exhibit that passion in a way that still represents Christ. Christ doesn't want us cursing people out, telling people off, and saying we're doing it because of Christ. Christ doesn't want us presenting people as projecting people, telling them that you're going to hell. That's not our call either. And so, remember, we stand in the gap for us, for ourselves. And so we're going to continue to pray for them as well. So we're talking about this word and this Bible versus Babel. Some of the things we talked about last night are some of the verses that we hear over and over, like, what's true? Is it Bible or Babel? And some of you called and answered, and some of your answers absolutely were right, and some of them you thought were right, and I thought they were right sometimes when I was growing up too, but they weren't. We asked such things such as, is it Bible or Babel to say money is the root of all evil? And so we know definitively now that money is not the root of all evil. The word of God actually says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And that in its original term also is not just money, cash, debit, credit, checks. It's materialism as well. The things that money can buy is that those things. When we start focusing on name brands only, and when we start going into debt because we want to rock this really expensive purse or these certain color bottom shoes, or we want to get that tailored suit because the pastor or the bishop has one, but you know it's not in your account to do it, that's when we have a problem, that we're falling into the love of money and the things that money can give us, instead of focusing on the love of Christ and being responsible stewards of the money that we have, being good tithers, those who are good offerers in addition to tithes, and those who are managing money well within themselves and their households. So we know that's just one example. We're going to hear some more as soon as we come back from this next song. And the next song that we're on here right now is beautiful, anointed, blessed Miss Anita Wilson, All I Need, and as well as Zacardi Cortez, One-on-One, because really that's all that God wants. All we really need sometimes when we're reaching for other people and trying to call somebody, reaching for other help, reaching for self-medication, reaching for a joint, reaching for another cup of coffee, reaching for that cigarette that's messing up the temple of God and anybody else that's around me. Remember, this is love. This is not judgment. I'm going to love some of the hell out of all of us. All right. Stay with us right here. This is Standing in the Gap. I am your servant, Monica, and I am blessed to be here for you. The number to get in contact with us is 904-296-2251.
You are my everything. Your love never changes. That's all I need. You gave your life for me, the ultimate sacrifice. There's no greater song I need. All I need, you are all I need. You are all I need. Your love is all I need. All I need, you are
just need my one-on-one time with you, you, with no interruptions. I just want it to be me and you. I need a one-on-one. I just need a one-on-one with you. Be selfish, but I just can't help it when it comes down to you. Since you've heard from me, but if you just give me a little time, if you just give me a little time, I promise I won't be long.
I just need
my one-on-one. I know I walked away, but I'm coming back to stay with you. I'm coming back to you.
That's Acardi Cortez. That's from the introduction, and that is one-on-one. And before that, we heard Anita Wilson, All I Need. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here with you. So blessed to be here. The number to call in with your own prayer requests and praise reports is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. We're going to continue to talk about this word as we listen to the word about Bible is not Babel, and Babel surely is not Bible. I recall just watching a Judge Mathis show not too long ago. I think it was last month. And I remember this defendant got up there and he said, "Your Honor, this girl got 5 babies by 6 baby daddies." And I said, "What? Wait a minute." He says, "She's got 5 babies by 6 baby daddies." And he said it so many times. At first, I thought he meant it the other way around. Like, how can she have more dads than babies? But he was doing that on purpose. He said it at least 7 times. And I chuckled at how he said it. but it wasn't funny in the fact that he was saying it the way that he did to get at the plaintiff, because it part of it was true. Of course, she didn't have five babies by six daddies, but she did have five babies by five different daddies, and the drama and trauma that's in her life and other lives of our lives when we do that comes into mind. Not a judgment against her, not even judgment against him, but the love that comes from us as we pray for these situations shows us why there's a need for us more and more to open the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to perceive the Word of God, to receive the Word of God, so we can achieve the things that the Word of God says, that we may live those things. Amen. And God has given us basic commandments, instructions, rules, and regulations based on righteous living. And again, they are not suggestions. They're not common considerations. They also are not given to keep us from having fun, as I said before. They are to keep us from having more fun the right way, the righteous way, without the drama and the trauma. They aren't given to block our destinations. The Word of God and the instructions that God gives us in the Bible are not to stop us from getting to where we need to go or stop our fun as we get there. They are to block the destruction assigned toward us from reaching those God-given destinations with less frustrations and irritations. Oh Lord, don't mention the agitations. Look at the basic guidelines of marriage in the Bible. God instructed us to have one man, one woman, sex after marriage, reproduce children, submission to each other. A lot of brothers, you know who you are. You love to look at that part of the scripture, that pericope, that says the woman is to submit to the man, but you totally don't want to look at all those scriptures that say the same thing is supposed to be mutually, that the husband and wife are to submit to each other as well as to God. It also says that we're supposed to cleave to one another, and as we cling to one another, we let go of our parents. And so we choose otherwise, though, that bring about when we don't choose one man, one woman. And remember, this is a safe zone. This is a love zone. This is a God zone. I'm still not saying anything against those who choose otherwise, because I still have love for them. Not still, I have love for them, because God has love for us when we don't choose exactly as God says. But there are also consequences to choices that we make that are outside of God's perfect will. And when we do that, God's permissive will in allowing it comes to pass sometimes, and that is not always a good thing. That's like saying when you're getting ready to cross the street and your parent is holding your hand when you were little, and the perfect will for your parent is to get you across the street without any accident or incident, right? Well, the perfect will is that. A permissive will is us just keep trying to keep pulling away from that parent and jumping out there and not looking to see if a car is coming or a bike is coming or another dog or cat is coming. And that parent looses their grip a little bit, and we step out when we pull away the next time and just get grazed by let's say a really small car, a Chevette or a Yugo. And so we're okay, but we're not as okay as we could have been. Some of us have been hit with this permissive will and consistently trying to do whatever we want to do and using either ignorance as the thing that lets us know that, oh, it's okay, I don't want to look in the Bible because I don't want to know what it says because I don't want to live what it says. Or we use the arrogance plea and saying, I know the word, I show the word, and I know God's merciful too, so I can just ask for forgiveness. It's like premeditated sin. God says that in the word too. He has certain feelings about arrogance in sinning. Sinning is one thing, but also arrogantly sinning and taking advantage of his grace and mercy, taking that for granted, that God has an issue with that as well. So when we go for the permissive will and it's not one man and one woman, that causes confusion and at times delusions. There are stats and more and higher stats on the possibility and probability also of incest, because Papa was a rolling stone and some of our mamas told us we better shop around. Come on, tell the truth. When we don't have sex after marriage, I know it's tough. We're human. Sex doesn't have to have as much control over us as we give into it when we allow God more room in our lives. But when we don't do it after marriage the way that God says, there is an increase in abortions, and some of us who do repeated abortions as if that's some new way of birth control. There's more incidence of diseases and dis-ease due to multiple encounters and intercourse to multiple people. Those are things that God is trying to keep us from having to go through. When God says to reproduce children, we know that we are of a fallen state, so we're not perfect as we were when God first created us. So some men can't give the seed for children. Some women can't bear children. Doesn't mean you're any less than anyone else. But when we don't reproduce children in the order that God says, without that order, the strong family structure is fractured, dysfunctional, fatherless, motherless stats of kids. It's ridiculous. Tainted foster care system, and it's overwhelmed. More cases of abuse, neglect, and abandonment. When we don't even look at God saying submit to each other, there are more cases of abuse and misuse. There's more cases of oppression and depression. There's more cases of dysfunctional family trees with fragmented fruits and fractured roots. Gotta get grounded again or more in Christ. When we don't cleave to one another, but we keep letting our mothers in our business, our fathers in our business, our stepdads and moms or bonus dads and moms in our business, or we keep moving back in with them and living off them, even though we're well beyond, let's say, 21, then we end up going through the household balance that's no longer balanced like it should be. We have more cases of people stressing more because they have grown behind children. Thank you, Lord, for sensory. Still living in the house and living off and not even helping out. Still going to the refrigerator to take, but not going to the grocery store to get and to give. Still pulling from mom and dad's pocket, even though their pockets are slimmer now too because they're older and trying to retire or are retired. There's still more incidents of confusion with identity roles and gender roles that spill outside the household into societies and proprieties and even church entities. There's more divorce. There's more serial marriages. There's more taste testing relationships. I'm going to say it like I want to, right? There's more taste testing relationships like it's 31 flavors and treating the family structure like it's a cheap piece of bubblegum that one discards and disregards when the sugar ends. When things aren't as sweet, when the honeymoon phase is over, when infatuation is no longer, and when real responsibility and working real relationship comes, then that's when someone wants to toss the other one away. There's cleaning. There's the clinging to others instead of one another. There's letting other people in a relationship. Look, when we use the word of God to allow little boys as they're growing up to first of all be boys, refusing to and allowing little baby girls to be girls, it's a beautiful thing. But so many times we'll go to church and listen to a pastor, him or her, say this or that, and that's it. But we don't go to the word of God for ourselves. And then we add all these other negative connotations or these things that sound good, but they're not God. If we let our male babies be boys instead of prematurely labeling them little man, the odds of him being a good man when he grows up are actually greater instead of him trying to live or relive childhood later playing games and playing women like games as others as well. If we would let our little baby girls just be girls instead of prematurely labeling them like little mamas and little ladies, they too could slow down and grow at a pace that's blessed by God and not move so quickly from being babies to having babies without a more balanced rites of passage and process in their maturity. God knew what God was doing. God knows what God is doing. But if we don't go to the Word of God to read it and see it, and even when God speaks those words to us directly and we haven't read them, Some of us aren't getting what God is giving because we have no foundation that's in the Word, from the Word, and that's a sad state for us. I want us to have greater, and I know a lot of you are Bible toters, Bible readers, and Bible livers, and for that we are great. Not livers like the meat, but those who live for the Bible. Stop playing, that live for Christ. But we're going to continue to talk about that because we want to encourage all of us to open the Word of God, to read the Word of God, so that the Word of God ultimately can read us and show us the greater versions of who God created us to be. Amen. Amen. Look, we're going to have some fun now. We're going to go ahead and get to our healing through laughter segment. Is that cool with you? I sure hope so, because we're getting ready to do that right now. I got a few clips for you, and I just want to let me make sure I have the right. Yep, I got a few clips for you. Actually, two. They're both from Jeff Allen. So we're going to listen to that together because it is ha ha hallelujah time. Healing through laughter, for truly God does just that. God heals through laughter. So let's listen to Jeff Allen, and just going to listen to this. I want to see how long it is for you. It's about 5 minutes long. Can you hang in there with me for 5 minutes? Let's get some laughter together. My microphone is on purpose, so I can laugh in as I'm listening in with you. But also, you can still call me, 904-296-2251. And if you call me, when you call me, I then will mute my mic so that I can speak with you still privately. Remember, not secretly. We don't hang with Satan like that anymore. But private, because I want to honor your confidentiality. It's 904-296-2251. Let's listen now.
One day God was looking down God's revenge on mankind.
Teenagers.
One day God was looking down over his creation and said to himself, hey, let's see how they like it to create someone in their own image who denies their existence.
Yeah.
Because I've looked through the Bible, it never mentions how old Satan was when he rejected God's authority. If I'm guessing, 16.
Right.
Really? Is there anything a 16-year-old doesn't already know? I'm ready to call NASA and let them know what I had living under my roof. You didn't hear me. I said the kid knows everything. And pick him up soon. He's going to the moon without a suit. You can't argue with a 16-year-old. They have a three-word vocabulary. They don't even know what the words mean. Is a word. You gonna pass your history test? Is that a yes or a no? Is a word. No, you can't spend the night at your friend's house. You flunked the history test. And the word whatever covers everything else. Whatever. Whatever comes at different frequencies. Whatever.